Amen. And Father, we just dedicate our time to you today. I open my mouth and pray you would fill it for your glory, Father. May every word that I speak come from your Spirit, Father, that will bring life into our lives, Lord, that we can be life and light to this world. In Jesus' name. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. This is my family here, my wife, Kristen, my second son, my oldest son, Dawson. Maybe some of you have met him through Lancaster Bible. He got married this summer, so they're married and expecting. And so one of the things that's been a change for us is my wife and I are now starting to think of ourselves as grandparents, which has been new. We hadn't thought about that before. This is my second son, Gabriel. He is 15, and then Samuel is 13, Elijah is 9, and Joy is 11, and little Faith is 6. And so we're blessed to be with you today. Just a quick background, I'm a physician, actually from Colorado. I trained out at the University of Colorado. And my wife is from New Jersey. I had every intention of staying in Colorado. And we were praying one day, and God put it on both of our hearts at the same time in different places that we were supposed to move east. So we prayed about it, and God plopped us down in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I had never heard of that place before, but God put us there, and we've been there for 15 years now, and it has been a blessing. We have been blessed in so many different ways to be in that community. About 5 years ago, we met some friends down here, and Jesse and Jonas and Aaron, and God showed us that we were supposed to start fellowshipping down here. So we drive from Bethlehem down to Lancaster. We've been doing that for, is it 4 years now, Gabe? Yeah, 4 years now. And we have just been so blessed to be a part of the Lancaster community and see what God is doing down here in this county. And He has shown us amazing, powerful things that are going to be transpiring in this county. There's an incredible plan for Lancaster County, and he has a great desire to use this county to transform everything. Jason's got a piece of tape for me. Thank you. As a physician, I'll just give you a very short background. When I started taking care of my patients, I started to recognize that they weren't getting better over time. That what I was trained to do as a doctor was manage diseases, but not actually help people recover. And so through the Lord leading by the power of the Holy Spirit, he started to show me what I could do to help my patients actually regain their health. And especially my patients that were believers, to not only regain their physical health, but to transform their lives to become salt and light as they went out into the world. And so I have made a transition in the last year out of my clinical practice into teaching, writing, and speaking. We started a not-for-profit to educate physicians on how to use lifestyle and food as medicine. We had 1,000 physicians at our last conference in Los Angeles in September. But he's also showing us, you know, how to work with believers to help them become transformed in every part of their lives, spirit, soul, and body, because the Lord tells us that we are the salt of the earth, we are the light, we are the ones that are supposed to go out and transform our world, and if the believers are sick physically, if we are not transformed in the renewing of our minds, if we don't understand our identity and who we are in Jesus Christ, if we are dealing with lots of soul-level issues and our emotional burdens, we cannot be the effective salt and light that he's called us to be. We don't emblazon Jesus Christ to the world if we're bound up in all of these things. And so we feel like God is calling us to go out and not only help train up doctors and help people overcome physically, but to help them transform their lives by the renewing of their mind, the renewing of their spirit, to fulfill the calling that is on every one of us to go out and make disciples and to be salt and light and to change the world. And so that's just a very brief overview of the amazing journey that God's had us on as a family for the last 15 years. And a few weeks ago, I'd given a talk on renewing the mind, and Steve asked me to come and share part of that talk with you about what it really means to renew our minds and actually what's happening in our brains and in our nervous system when we do renew our minds. And it's very powerful because the enemy, Satan, knows that the battle for our lives is in our minds, right? And that's why Romans 12 says, you know, therefore present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And then what does he say? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so often we get stuck on the conformed to this world. And we start working on conformity in the way that we look and what we say, and we get hung up on all the external aspects of conformity. But the real conformity that he's talking about is the conformity of our mind to the world system. Colossians 1:21 says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." So before we came to Christ, we were alienated and enemies where? In our minds. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "The God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbelievers." So Satan is the God of this age. He's the God of this world. And he works and he weaves through family, through friends, through media, through words, through reading, through music, through all of these ways. He works to blind the mind of the unbelievers. And I'll show you how powerful that is in just a little bit when we understand what's actually happening in our brains when we're encountering this information. Ephesians 4 says, "Gentiles walk in the futility of their thoughts." In the futility of their thoughts. Shows you how powerful the thought life is. We're walking in the futility of our thoughts. We have, on average, about 60,000 thoughts a day. Isn't that amazing? 60,000. But how many of those are you really aware of? You know, not many, because we have lots of things going on in our minds. And then Colossians 3:10 says, "And put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." So we're renewing our minds by putting on knowledge and understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Ready, Jason? So, so what we're doing, you know, we're going to be renovating our brains. And it's more than we might expect, because if we can look here on this one corner, our conscious mind is 10% of our daily activity. So that's logic, you know, planning, analyzing, deciding what we're going to do, deciding where we're going to go, deciding what we're going to read, planning out our day, how are we going to spend our hours. 90% of our thought life is non-conscious. Non-conscious. But that is, if you look at that list, that's all of those things. That's our emotions. It's our belief systems. So where is Satan working in the thought life of both believers and unbelievers? He accesses the subconscious. And why? Because once it's in the subconscious, we're not always aware of it. We start living out patterns, thought patterns. We start to speak from the subconscious. We have relational patterns that we've developed from the subconscious. So our lives are mostly lived out of the subconscious, and oftentimes those things are automated. So we start living, we walk out our days, we say things, we have relational habits, we have all these things that develop out of our subconscious mind. And if we never stop to renew the subconscious, then those things that were woven in there by growing up in different places, believing different things, still can find their way out of a life of a believer until we renew that part of our mind. The conscious part of our mind, you know, those are things that we can grab a hold of and we can, you know, remove them quickly because we recognize it. But the subconscious is the deeper part, and that's the part that we really need to renew. It's interesting, you know, the Bible also tells us that we need to take every thought captive. So if you think about, you know, every thought, 60,000 thoughts a day, that's a lot of captivity. It's a lot of work. But how is that possible for a believer then to transform their minds? Because we can't consciously take into a consideration 60,000 thoughts, right? We'd spend all of our time worrying about our thoughts. But how is it that we actually transform our minds? That's the most important thing that we can learn today, when we start to understand how we can transform our lives. So the first thing that we need to do before we start on the what and the how, we need to go back and we need to start understanding who we are. You know, when we're making changes in our life, anything that we're changing, It's easy to start making a change and get stuck on the, well, how am I going to do this? What do I really need to do? And we start working in that area. But we need to go back further before we make a lasting change. We need to understand why we're making the change. Why is this important? Why is it important that we transform and renew our minds? Like, what's the depth of this? How is it going to make a difference for us long term? And why do we need to worry about this as believers? And then we really need to go back further and say, well, who am I? Because it's out of the identity of who we are that we determine why we're alive and what we're going to do, and then how we're actually going to do that. So all of this renewing of our mind comes back to our identity in Christ. Have you all had some teaching on identity? It is transformative when we truly understand who we are in Christ. I grew up in a non-denominational church from the time I was little in Colorado, and I have been in lots of different churches in Colorado and in Pennsylvania, and one of the things I was never taught growing up was who I am in Christ. I heard lots of teachings about how I should live. I heard lots of teachings about what I need to do, what a Christian looks like. I had a few teachings about why I'm alive and my life purpose, but I, looking back on my life, I had nobody that ever taught me who I am in Christ. And it is transformative when we begin to understand who we are in Jesus Christ. Because the enemy wants us to believe something else about ourselves. Satan wants us to believe that we are weak, that we are defeated, that we have no power, that we should be ashamed of our lives, that we can never get free from sin. He wants us to not recognize the power and authority that we have in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to truly understand what it means to be a child of God, adopted by our Father. He does not want us to understand what it means to be the temple of the living God, the God of all creation dwelling in us with the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit inside of us. He does not want us to understand those things. So if you become a Christian, His next job then is to keep you living in a defeated place. Because if you live as a defeated Christian, never understanding who you are in Jesus Christ, never having your mind renewed and understanding that important and powerful identity, then you will never be able to fulfill the calling that God has on your life. And you'll live, but there will not be a lot of fruit that comes out of your life. So we have to start renewing our mind at the place of our identity in Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Who has worked through that? Anybody worked through that here? This is transformative. This is amazing. One of the things that we've done this and we're doing it again as a family right now. We're going back through the I Ams in the Bible, who we are in Jesus Christ. And we're taking them one by one, and we're studying out the scriptures that surround those things so that we can understand the depth of who we are and the powerful position that God has put us in this world. And then we can begin to walk out with confidence in this world, knowing that, you know, even though Satan may come against us, God will always raise up a standard. Even though the enemy may try to bring fear into our life, all fear has to go because of the perfect love of Jesus. Even though the enemy may come against us in the words of other people, we are seated in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ, and we stand in the authority of Christ, which is the authority over all things in heaven and on earth. And if God is our Father, if Christ is dwelling in us, then we have the same level of authority as Christ when we're walking with Christ in the perfect will of God, and the enemy cannot be victorious over us. When it says that we are the salt of the earth, do you know what that, we were studying that actually again this week. Have you ever thought about what that means? What happened in the ancient times when they had salt? Salt is only useful when it has the sodium chloride portion of it. That brings the taste. And it's only useful when it's used and it's out. Sometimes in the old day, because salt was valuable, they would take the salt, they would put it in a leather pouch, and they would keep it. And then over time, as the rain and the water would fall in the leather pouch, guess what gets washed out? The taste part of the salt. So you open the bag and you have white powder inside this bag. You put it on your food and it's tasteless. And then they would take that out of the bag and they would throw it on the ground. So what do we learn? If it says that we are the salt of the earth, if we're renewing our mind to understand what it means we're the salt, that means that we need to be outside, living in the world, bringing flavor to all of those that we see, because we're bringing the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ with us wherever we go. Same thing with the light of the world. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Why? Because Christ is in us. And when we go into a room, what happens to darkness when light comes on? The darkness has to flee. So wherever you go, even if it's into the darkest place spiritually, the minute that you walk in knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, because Christ is alive in you, and you walk in the room, it's like turning the light switch on. And the darkness must flee. It has to flee. You do not have to fear, because Christ is in you, and Christ is the light, and you carry the light. And as you walk in, darkness flees the room, because you are standing and taking up the place and filling the space for Jesus Christ. And as we begin to renew our minds in the I ams of who we are in Jesus Christ, it goes down into that subconscious part of our lives, so that we walk into places and we don't even have to think about it. We know who we are. We know the power and authority that we carry. We know from Romans 8 that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And if that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive in us, He can do mighty and powerful works through our hands and through our words. And we do not have to fear the enemy. We do not have to fear man. We just have to let Christ live out through us. And then we become like a conduit for Christ and the Holy Spirit wherever we go. Whatever we touch, we're touching with the hands of Jesus. When we speak the words of life and the Bible into people's lives, we are speaking powerful words that transform people's minds. And you become an agent of transformation wherever you go and whatever you do. When you leave the walls of the church, and we live outside the walls of the church, when you walk into the inner city, Christ is walking into the inner city. Jesus Christ, the one who sits in all authority over heaven and earth, the one who God made the enemy His footstool, when you walk into the inner city, Christ is walking into the inner city with that level of authority. And nothing can come against you. If it comes against you with the word of your mouth, which is the word of Christ, you speak and the enemy has to obey the authority of Jesus Christ. Because He was defeated at the cross. He has no power or authority. The only thing the enemy can try to bring against us is fear. But when we renew our minds and we understand our identity in Jesus Christ, as the enemy brings fear, we don't have to submit to fear, because we can submit and know that God, we can trust God. He is our faithful, good Father, and that all of His promises will come to pass. And the authority that He gave us in Christ, we can speak into the situation and the enemy must leave. And then we can speak to the person and we bring healing and life to that person when we understand who we are. So one of the things I would leave you as homework after this, you can look it up on the internet. Maybe Steve has some of those handouts, but it's looking through the I ams in Christ and determining and getting that rooted in your subconscious mind of who you are, who God has made you to be, and what you can accomplish with God as your Father. And meditate on those and let those sink in. Sometimes when we study only in the conscious mind. We just keep it, we analyze it, we think about it. When you actually meditate on something, like it says we are to meditate on God's word day and night, that's when it sinks down into your subconscious, and that's when it begins to transform what you actually believe. One of the things that happens to us... I have two colors today. I have pink for the girls. I have green for the boys. So one of the things that happens, you know, I'm not a great artist, so I apologize. So here's our brain. We actually think in more than one place. Did you know that? And how am I going to draw this one? So we have all of these, you know what neurons are? They're the brain cells. So we have brain cells in our brain. We have neurons in our heart. And we actually have more neurons in our gut than our brain. Did you know that? We actually, they're determining now that you think with your gut. Right? So, I have a gut reaction, a gut instinct. It's true. It comes from your gut. And many of the neurochemicals, the neurotransmitters that you think with, serotonin and all these, are produced in your gut. 90% are produced in your gut. They actually find their way to your brain. So there's this really powerful, ongoing two-way communication between all three aspects of our thinking. They have found that your heart emits an electrochemical field that goes out 6 feet, and it communicates information. They can measure it. They can record it. They can measure the information that it's communicating. And the same thing with the gut. So we're thinking in all three places. And we have our mind. We also know that we have a heart. The body talks about our heart. And we have, this is often thought of as the seat of our spirit, is our gut, out of the wellsprings of your belly. So we have three different areas where we're thinking. And the brain, this, especially the frontal part of your brain, is where we often have like logic and analysis. And this became overemphasized through the Greeks. The Greek thought, the Greek mindset was that we just have to think and reason. And if we think and reason, we can understand all life. If we go back a little further into the Jewish history, they understood that everything was much more holistically oriented. They understood the greater connections of life and that it was not just conscious thought. And so oft, in our Western society, we often get hung up on reason, logic, analysis. And we think that we can just do that through life. And even in our Christian lives, we get stuck on reason, thought, analysis. But we forget that there's other parts of our life that we need to listen to. And the Holy Spirit, when he resides in us, he communicates through this entire connection. Sometimes you feel things in your belly as you're listening to the Holy Spirit. When you listen in your mind, you're actually listening out of your subconscious and it's finding its way into your conscious mind. You're leading with your heart. Compassion comes from the heart. So as we become more holistic in our understanding of who we are and how we're thinking, the Holy Spirit can work more powerfully through our lives where we're not just stuck on reason and logic and analysis. And we can become transformed. Now, when we have what's really interesting in our lives, I think it's this next one. This is a picture of that kind of represents what your brain cells look like. So these are beautiful fall trees. And what we see there is you have these long trunks, and then you have all these branches, which are the branches of a connection in your brain. And so in your brain, if we took a little window out of your brain, you have these cells that are called neurons. And these neurons have long stalks, like the trunk of the tree, and then they develop all these different connections to all these other neurons, and that's how you develop thought patterns. So we develop thought patterns when one neuron connects to another neuron and they communicate information. And it develops this very real little connection called a synapse, and it actually gets hardwired in. And the more that you think about something, the more efficient this connection becomes, and it becomes almost an automatic connection where it just starts to run on its own. So when we talk about renewing our minds and understanding who we are, one of the schemes of the enemy is to plant lies in our life. And one of the lies that he likes to plant are those lies about who we are from people that we care about, family members, brothers, sisters, parents. Those lies get told to us, and they become hardwired in. So it might be a lie like, you'll never amount to anything. And if they hear that enough, when you hear words, you listen to the words, the sound goes into your ear, it goes to your brain takes that piece of information and it actually transfers it and goes down into the cell and it turns on like molecular machinery, like a little factory. And the factory produces proteins. And those proteins get transported down to make a new connection. And so a thought, a word, actually becomes substance and mass and a permanent connection in your brain. So when somebody speaks things to you on an ongoing basis, if a parent is speaking harsh words or telling you something that's not true, you're hearing words, it's becoming substance in your brain, and it actually becomes a connection. And the more that you hear it, the more hardwired it becomes, and it finds its way down into your subconscious, and it starts to run automatically. And you start to hear the lies on an ongoing basis in your subconscious because it's a hardwired connection. And the enemy gains a foothold in your life because of that part of your mind which has been compromised by lies. So how do we get rid of those, right? That a lie is a powerful thing, and we've all encountered people, and I know all of us have had to work through lies. Things that people have said, things the world has told us, things that we have believed that are not true, that have become hardwired connections in our brain. How do we get rid of those hardwired connections? So this is a picture that shows on the top corner here, right-hand corner, that's the development of those connections over time. So as we are learning, as we are hearing words, we're developing more and more and more of those connections. And then the more that the connection is repeated, the more efficient the connection becomes. And the more efficient it becomes, the more automatic it becomes. And these are just pictures of neurons you can see here on the left-hand side. You can see how they grow and they develop all this whole web of connections in our brain. And the enemy loves to get hardwired lies into our life. And some of the lies that he also likes to put in there is the defeatist attitude of a believer. You know, I'm just a poor sinner, just barely making it through this world, waiting until Jesus comes. That's a defeated lie the enemy wants us to believe. Why does he want us to believe that lie? Because then we cower when we encounter the enemy. When we encounter any opposition from somebody, we have no authority. We shy away from going into the hard places and doing the hard things that Jesus would call us to do because we think of ourselves in a defeated way, and it's a lie the enemy likes to put in, and he weaves it in through where? Through the Western culture, movies? A little bit, but where does it come mostly? Out of some churches. There are lots of churches today, lots of religious doctrine today that wants to tell us who we really are not. And the religious doctrine, the goal of the religious doctrine by the enemy is to keep believers from understanding who they are in Christ, for fear that if a believer understands who they are in Christ and what their calling is, they may actually go out and do something with their life. They actually may go out and change the world for Jesus. They may actually go out and live in a powerful way, bringing about change throughout their entire life. That's what the enemy fears. So through lies and through fear, they keep us down. The enemy tries to keep us down. So we need to renew our minds by understanding the lie that he tries to weave and say, you know what, I identify the lie, and then the way that we get rid of the lie in this connection is we, by the power of the Spirit, we recognize there's a lie that's there, we identify the lie, we bring the lie then to our conscious mind, where we can take the lie and we compare it against the truth, because the conscious mind is the part of our mind that's analysis. So we take the lie and we compare it against the truth. And where do we find the truth? God's word. His word is true. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We find the word, we go to the word, we find the truth. And that's why it's so important to find out these identities in Christ. We identify the truth, we compare the lie to the truth. We compare it, we identify it, and then you consciously make a decision by the power of the Holy Spirit to remove the lie from your thought process. But if this has been hardwired, is it just that one time? What do we have to do? We have to meditate on the truth. Meditate on God's word day and night. We meditate on the truth. So you read the truth. I am the salt of the earth. And as you go about your day, you meditate on that. You ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean to be the salt of the earth? I am a child of God. We hear it all the time, but what does it really mean to be a child of the creator of the universe? What does it really mean to have full access to the throne room of heaven, where Jesus said we can come boldly into the throne room of heaven? What does that mean to be a child? What does it mean to say, I have God as my Father? What does that mean to have God as our Father? We say it, and sometimes in churches, and because of like the religious dogma and doctrine, we say it all the time, God's my Father. But if you really start and meditate on that for a couple of weeks, I have God as my Father. I am a child of God. I am adopted by the creator of the universe. And you really begin to understand the depth of the truth. That truth begins to permeate your mind. It goes down. It becomes a part of your heart and a part of your gut. And it transforms. It cuts off these old things. And it starts to grow new truth-based connections in your subconscious. And then it becomes like an automatic. You start walking confidently in the world because all the way down in your heart and your gut and in your subconscious, you have these connections that have been there because you've meditated on God's word. And you start to just operate automatically in a new identity with a new why and a new what and a new how. It becomes a part of your hardwiring. You've changed your programming. But it starts by asking God to show us lies and being willing to face the lies by the power of the Spirit and comparing it to the truth and allowing truth to transform us. What I like to compare this to is pruning. And this is such a great verse from Ephesians 4 that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's actually like taking off and putting on. You know, in the morning, after if you've worked for a long time, you take off your dirty clothes, you throw them in the clothes hamper, you put on clean clothes. It's action. We have to do something to renew our minds. We have to take action. We can't just think that our minds are going to be renewed just walking through our day. It's an active process of taking off and putting on. And I liken it to this idea of pruning. You know, in order for trees to grow more fruitful, we have to prune. We have to cut off some connections and some old branches so that new branches can grow. And the process of renewing your mind is the process of pruning out the old connections, pruning out the lies, pruning out the things that people have told us that we are not, pruning out the old thought patterns, pruning out the old behavioral patterns, pruning out some of the things that the Western culture has told us, pruning out some of the old theology and doctrine that is not correct from the places that we have come out of, and putting on the new. Putting on the truth of the scriptures and letting that prune out the old connections so that we can grow new connections and grow in fruitfulness. Oh, there we go. One more. And how do we do this? Can we do it in the power of our own might? No. Because we're dealing with a mind that needs to be renewed. And truth is revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. And we know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is having a renewed mind. So it's by the power of the Holy Spirit and the transforming work of the Holy Spirit that we can be renewed in our minds. And we have to be willing to submit ourselves, first filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, allow the Spirit to lead us and to teach us all things. And you know, you can hear this Holy Spirit. Have you heard the Holy Spirit before in your mind? Have you felt the Spirit's leading? You can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and he speaks to you in that place where it sounds like your own voice. And if you're resting in the presence of the Lord, allowing the Spirit to speak to you, he will speak to you and bring these things to your mind. He will show you lies that you've believed. He will show you areas of your life that need to get renewed. He'll show you the thought patterns that need to be removed. He will show you scriptures that are truth. He says the Holy Spirit is our counselor, and he counsels us by speaking to us. One of the ways I've heard it described, if you in your mind right now, you just say the word pencil or spoon. Just say that in your mind. That's where you would hear the Holy Spirit in that same voice, in that same way. He communicates to us by speaking through that part of our lives. And he communicates powerful things when we meditate on the Word and through the Holy Spirit. And it's renewal inside and out. That needs to come to pass. So we are renewed by the power of God's word. That is truth. It is the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God never comes back void. So every time we meditate on the word, every time God's word is spoken, it evokes a response. God's word always does something. God's word never comes back void or empty. God's word is never spoken where it is powerless in its action. So as when we are going through our day, the more that we can speak God's word about ourselves, speak God's word to other people, speak God's word in truth into situations, pray God's word, it always does something. You may not see the effect of that immediately, but it always does something. And as we are speaking it, what are we also doing? We are hearing it. And as we're hearing God's word, what's happening? It's building faith and it's changing what we believe, and it's building our faith because it's changing the connections in our brain. And it's changing what we believe in our heart. And it's changing the connections in our gut. It is literally, when we are hearing the word of God, it's literally rebuilding our nervous system as we speak God's word. We are literally pruning off old connections in our brain, and our brain is in this active construction process, rebuilding connections and rebuilding our nervous system. And as our whole nervous system is rebuilt, our spirit interacts with this powerful nervous system, and it brings action, and it brings transformation. And the more automatic it becomes, the more automatic we become walking into situations, and the more automatic we become in sharing words with people, and walking alongside of them, and discipling them, and bringing transformation, and sharing the gospel, and bringing healing, the more that we become transformed in our nervous system. And Jesus is the truth. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, Jesus went to heaven, and he said, it's good that I go to heaven. Why was it good that he went to heaven? Because he said what? He said, I will send you the Spirit that will guide you in all truth. That's John 16:13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So when we have the Holy Spirit that has been sent to us, the Holy Spirit is communicating to us all things from Jesus, as we're learning to listen to the Spirit. God's word is declaring all things about his plan for our lives and all truth. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the word, the truth, we are being transformed and we're renewing our minds. And so renewing our minds is this beautiful, active process that we can engage in on a daily basis. And we should be. Because as we get more and more cleansed, we become more and more like Jesus. And we begin to think more like Jesus thought. And you can step into situations and you can see things that you would not have seen before, just as Jesus saw them. He understood the forces that were at work around him. And he was able to speak to those things. He understood when Peter, who sounded like he was saying a good thing, he understood where it came from. It was coming from Satan. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was able to speak immediately to the situation, negate the attempt of Satan to communicate a lie to him that he might not have to die. And so as our minds become more renewed, we become more like Jesus Christ, and we can bring transformation into our world. And Hebrews 12 says that what we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of God, right? So our goal, our lives are to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we can do that by telling ourselves who we are in Christ. We can do that by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and teach us all things. We can do it by speaking God's word out on a daily basis. And know now that when you speak God's word, it's doing something in the atmosphere, but it's also doing something in your own nervous system. You are speaking and it is changing your nervous system. It is rewiring your body and your brain so they can be more interfaced with your spirit. Yeah, I'll just share one more thing that just came to me. We have inside of us this beautiful, powerful gift of the Holy Spirit that was sent as a gift from God. But how then does the Holy Spirit interact through our nervous system to change the world here? How does that happen? Here's our Holy Spirit. How does it work through this? The Holy Spirit is able to connect in, actually, and the connection is through what? Our nervous system. Connects through our nervous system, and it connects through our nervous system to affect the word centers of our brain so that we will speak what the Spirit wants. Connects in through our brain so we will believe the things that are true, and that we will, through the action part of our brain, our feet will go and walk, supposed to walk, and our hands will do the things. It's supposed to be hands, not a very good one. But our hands will do what God's calling us to do. So the Holy Spirit is working through the physical structure of our body, working through the physical structure of our brain and our beliefs and our words to touch the world. The Holy Spirit, though, can run into challenges. This is not always a free-flowing, four-lane highway to connect in. What are the blocks on the bridge? The blocks on the bridge can be lies that we believe, can be emotional pain that we carry, right? Can be sometimes sin that we're walking in. It can be relationships because of the words that are spoken. So this is the part of our lives that God wants us to remove so that more of God's Spirit can flow through our body. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. More of God's Holy Spirit can flow through our body and through our nervous system to reach outside of this physical body to touch the world, and which is really people. So that's why part of this whole renewing process is saying, God, what are the lies that I have believed? And I want to compare those and remove those, and I want to replace that with the truth. Show me where the emotional pain is that I've held, and if I have any unforgiveness in my life, if there's areas of my life where I have bitterness or anger or resentment that I need to remove so that I can remove that emotional barrier and show me the truth, that just as I am forgiven, I need to forgive. Just as I've been given peace, I need to offer peace. We need to pray that God will show us any areas of our lives, even unknowingly, where we may be walking in rebellion against him. And we say, Lord, what are those? I want to remove those because I want your Spirit to have free and full access. We may have relationships where somebody's speaking into our ear things that are rewiring our brains in a negative way, and sometimes we need to take a step back from those relationships for a period of time. Allow God to transform the relationship so that it's not rewiring our brains. But as these things get removed, more of the power of the Spirit flows through us. It flows through our words. It flows through our hands. Our feet go where we're supposed to go. Our plans are made because He is organizing and orchestrating our plans in our life. And that's how the Spirit works through our bodies to bring about change, but it only occurs when we begin to renew our minds. Renew our minds. So, let me pray, and then I'd like to just take a couple of minutes, and we'll do some I Ams together. We'll end with that. Does that sound all right? I'm just going to pull them up. All right. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We praise you, Father, that you are our Father, that you've made that possible through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are redeemed by his blood, that we have been made a part of your family, that we've been adopted into your family with a spiritual inheritance because of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we can come before you even in prayer this morning because Jesus Christ was victorious on the cross. And you give us free and full access into your throne room. We thank you, Jesus, that you gave us the Holy Spirit when you went back, that your Spirit leads us and guides us as our counselor, allows us to walk in power and authority on this earth to accomplish the plans and callings you have for our lives, to touch this world, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are lost, to bring the message of hope that there is eternal life set forth by your work on this earth. We thank you that you allow us to live in freedom. Your goal and desire for us is to be healed and whole in Christ. We thank you, Father, for this day and for every family that is here. I pray your blessings of peace be in each household and each family. I pray that you would reveal yourself in powerful and mighty ways even this week, in transformed lives, transformed families, and a transformed community by the power of Jesus Christ. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand up, and I'll read these, and then you can just follow with me. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a child of the day and a child of the light. I am a child of God, born of God, by the will of God. I have God as my Father. I am adopted into God's family. I am chosen and anointed by Christ to bear his fruit. I died with Christ and died to the power of sin's rule over my life. I am a slave to righteousness. I am free from sin and enslaved to God. I am free forever from condemnation. I am a son of God. I am a joint heir with Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. I have been sanctified and called to holiness. I have been given the mind of Christ. I am God's temple, a dwelling place for his Spirit. I am united to the Lord and am one spirit with him. I am bought with a price. I am not my own. I belong to God. I am called. I am a member of Christ's body. I am victorious through Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it? I would encourage you this week, meditate on those I ams. Let them sink deep into your soul. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and lead you as you become transformed members of his kingdom. I thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
You may be seated.